Oh, the wonderful cross. Hallelujah. Oh, the wonderful cross bids me come and die so that I can truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross. All who gather here, by grace we draw near and we bless his name. Why are you here this morning? You are here by the grace of Almighty God. We are here to bless his name, to worship him because of that wonderful cross. We're looking at the fifth week now of our sermon series on the book of Romans. 5 weeks we've been doing this. And today I want you to feel that sacrifice it takes to remain steadfast in your faith. We sometimes sing that chorus, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. The sacrifice of praise, there's one right there. You're having a bad day, I always say, and done it. Gives me a little bit of a chuckle on this. There's no such thing as a bad day. Every day has been given to us by the hand of God. Circumstances happen in that day that might have a ulterior motive on our heart and our soul, but there's no such thing as a bad day because he gives the day. It's a blessing of the present. If those circumstances come into our lives, they may bring us low and we may find ourselves downtrodden. But if we come with God's people into the house of the Lord and we bring the sacrifice of praise, we praise God and we thank God in spite of the circumstances, that is the sacrifice of praise. So this morning, I want you to feel the sacrifice. I want you to feel it this morning. It requires sacrifice to remain steadfast in your faith. The transformation is meant to be constant and it requires constant sacrificial obedience and devotion to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, to start off, open your eyes to how God is seeking to use you in his purposes. In his purposes in and for the world as you seek to remain in him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the continued and sustained grace you have poured into our lives. Help us to respond courageously and constantly and consistently to your immeasurable gift, salvation, as we give our lives as living sacrifices to you. God's people said, amen. Do you know the problem with a living sacrifice? Some days it tries to crawl off the altar. Some days it tries to get off the altar. We're going to be looking in our Bibles. If you got your Bibles, your Bible apps that you at home, if you got your Bible apps, your iPhone, your iPad, this is the scripture portions we're going to be looking at today. Romans 12, 1, Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, Corinthians 5, 17, Hebrews 9, 22 to 26. And I did before, this is the end of the fifth week of our sermon series on the book of Romans. We've talked through a number of issues, the problem of sin, the rescue for sin, the pursuit of righteousness, God choosing us. And this morning we're going to be looking at a living sacrifice. What are we called to do? And this is one of the greatest principles Paul chooses to discuss in the book of Romans, specifically that we are to offer our lives as living sacrifices unto the service of God. And this is important because as we learn about sin, redemption, and righteousness, we're often left with the question, well, okay, what now? What now? I've been saved. I've been redeemed. I'm declared righteous. Okay, Ken. So, what now? What now? I've been redeemed from sin and death, but to do what? What am I redeemed for? What am I redeemed to? Well, hopefully today is an answer, not a full and exhaustive answer, but an answer to those questions. And hopefully today is not the end of the conversation, but merely the beginning as you continue to look into the book of Romans for yourself. And today, after the service in our Romans Bible study, we're picking up where we left off. And for the next 4 weeks, we'll be continuing our study in the book of Romans. So, to start off, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and we're going to jump right into it. And you're probably aware that the Old Testament is filled with animal sacrifice. The temple altar was a gruesome place. It was a bloody place. There was blood everywhere. Constant sacrifice had to be made for the sin of the people. And Hebrews 9:22 reminds us that under the law, most everything is purified with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. That, of course, was before Jesus. So look at now, Romans chapter 9, verses 24 to 26 says this. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered into heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that's not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but he has appeared once for all in the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hallelujah. I hope you caught that last part. Christ sacrificed himself once and for all for us. And this is the basis from which the Apostle Paul makes his plea in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And that says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. Paul's appeal is a very clear conclusion to everything that Paul said in Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 11, where he explains the way of the cross, where he explains the sacrifice of Christ, where he explains salvation and redemption and justification and righteousness. And he says, because of all that, my brothers and sisters, I urge you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Paul finishes by saying that this is our spiritual worship. Some translation says it's our rational service. Think about that for a moment. Paul is saying that in light of all Christ has done, our sacrifice is spiritual worship, rational service. Now, that's not saying that you and I owe something to Jesus. We owe him because of what he did. But rather, it's more that it's our honor to worship him with everything we've got, with all of our lives, with everything that makes up Ken Percy. I worship you. What's that chorus we sing? I worship you. I worship you. In all that I do, I worship you. So every part of my life, every part of my being has to worship God. In light of all of God's mercy, offer yourselves. Offer yourselves. It's more than it's our honor to worship Him with our lives. It's only rational that we would respond to Christ's sacrifice by offering our lives back up to Him. You're probably saying, well, okay, I'm a little fuzzy here, Ken. Can you break it down a little bit more for me? What does that life of sacrifice, that sacrificial life to God, look like? Break it down a little bit for me. Well, the Apostle Paul does just that. He just doesn't leave us there. He breaks it down. What's a sacrificial life look like? Well, thankfully, the Apostle Paul expands on that further. Romans chapter 12, 9 to 21, and also in Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 3. Romans 12, 9 to 21 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and even in those bad circumstances, give the sacrifice of praise. This is happening in my life, Lord, but I love you, and I worship you, and I trust you, and I'll serve you in spite of the stuff. Everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got stuff. But we choose to worship Him. I often say sometimes, and I get a little comment from Donette, you make the choice to rejoice. Like I say, there's no such thing as a bad day. This is the day that God hath made, I will rejoice in it. No matter what's happening in it, I make the choice, it's an act of will, I make the choice to rejoice, and there is my sacrifice of praise. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow, that's a hard one. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. With everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. I saw it written one time when I look at this portion of Scripture. You will never meet anyone whom God does not love. You will never, ever meet anybody whom God does not love. And I come back to the sayings of my father. Dad used to say to me, Ken, we are all created in God's image. And who am I to look down on any of God's images? We are all created in the image of God. And who am I to look down upon the image of God? You will never, ever meet anyone whom God does not love. You will never, ever meet anyone to whom God would not send his son to die. So as far as it is within us, let us live at peace with everybody. How can I, as a follower of Christ, hate the image of God when we are all created in his image? You and me. Ephesians 4, 1-3 says this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. It's not just the preacher who's called into ministry. It's not just the preacher who's called. Everyone who names the name of Christ is in the ministry and is called. He goes on to say, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this is Paul here making an urgent appeal. He urges and exhorts the Ephesian church to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that they've received. Church. We are no different from the Ephesian church of that day. We are called. So he urges them, and he urges us to live with humility, gentleness, patience, long sufferings, and unity. These are the true marks of the life that's transformed and renewed by Christ. These are the characteristics of a life sacrificed. Sacrificed unto the service of God. And conversely, these are not the traits of a worldly life. You don't see a Christian coming out of a bar because someone spoke nastiness to your brother and you see them beating him up in the back alley. No, that's a worldly life. That's not living in peace with your neighbor. But to live in this way is a sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It's the costly way of serving Christ. Being a Christian costs you something. You got to lose your life. Lose it. The way of Christ is not an easy path to follow. In fact, if you've ever read through the four Gospels, you've seen just how many people stop following Christ because of some circumstance or another. They've had a bad day. And that living sacrifice crawls off the altar. I can't do it anymore because of this and because of that, because of the other thing. Lord, I can't serve you. Can't handle it right now. You probably know that as Jesus hung on the cross, everybody else around him abandoned him, except for a select few at the foot of the cross. And all that's to say, it's not an easy road to walk, is it, as a Christian? But we are called to walk that road. Matthew 10, 38-39 says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. But whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake, oh, you're going to find it. Hallelujah. And if we follow Christ and remain true to him, we've got to take up our cross. We got to die. We have to give up our lives. And if we are faithful to do just that, Jesus says you're going to find life and you're going to find it more abundantly than you've ever known before. A better life than you'd ever find at the bottom of a bottle or the end of a needle. as it pertains to our teaching today, I take this passage as a reminder that I must live a life of sacrifice in response to the sacrifice of Christ. I can't have it both ways. I said another way, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we've got to turn our backs on the old life. We've got to die to that and move on. You can't go, but I want that. I need it. No. Christ gave you life more abundantly. Look at the cross. In the view of that reality, we have to sacrifice our lives to Him. We've got to give ourselves to Him. We've got to die to that self, that old self, and we've got to live for Christ. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I can't have Christ and have the ways of the world. I have to choose one or the other. You can't have one foot in this world and one foot in that. I've got to be all in. I've got to jump in with both feet and follow Christ. The amazing thing about living and following Christ and forsaking the world is you follow Him, you know life. You get it more abundantly, more amazingly. Outrageous joy. That's what I sometimes say. Sounds crazy, but you got to lose your life to find it. And that's how it works. You become a new creation in Christ with an eternal destination. You are a new creation. And the payoff of that far exceeds any type of former life, I would say, existence. Turn from the mere existing to really living, and the payoff, my friends, is eternal. It far exceeds the light and momentary trouble. Becoming a living sacrifice also means you become a new creation, like a caterpillar transforming into a beautiful monarch butterfly. Christ is in the business of unimaginable transformation. Second Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. When you live all in for Christ, you can say goodbye to the old ways of life. The life you lived in the world passes away. It dies. And it dies just as the old husk of that caterpillar will die to make room for the new life in Christ. Then you really get to spread your wings and know life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know it? Do you know it? We all go through stuff. Donette and I have gone through stuff fairly recently. We've got people here today who are going through stuff. And I don't know how anybody else could ever cope with stuff without Jesus in their life. I don't know how they would get through it. I honestly don't know. Because Jesus is our strength day by day, and we rely on Him because He's the truth and the way, the great healer, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And how do people who don't know that Savior get by in the stuff of life? I don't know. Donette and I took little Hannah and Candace and Jeremy. We all went down to the Birdie Park. We call it the Birdie Park. And it's down Lynshore's conservation area. We love going down there and seeing the birds and taking pictures. And Hannah had her hand out, and the birds were landing on, she was feeding them out of her hand. And later on, we went and we saw, around supper time, we drove up the laneway of
Halls Road.
Halls Road, thank you. Yeah. his age. Hall's Road. We went up Hall's Road and we drove very slowly and we counted, I don't know how many deer. So we parked and we walked down the path a little bit, and Hannah found this half-eaten apple and she threw it in the bushes, and all of a sudden these deer came out, and no further away than Brother Marco right here. And Hannah was there awestruck. Nanny could not believe so close to a deer that's not in a petting zoo. But during that time, I noticed around the area a lot of old dead logs. A lot of old dead logs. And I've noticed that before. And in the spring of the year, around those old dead logs, you can see new life breaking forth. If you ever get a chance to go down to Lynn Shores, it's a beautiful walk. But there's so much of God in that area, His presence. And that's the way it is with the Christian life. The old has gone. The old dead log has fallen down. But it's making room for fresh, new growth. New life in Him. Like that old dead tree falling to the forest floor, making room for new life to grow. Living a redeemed life of sacrifice in the service of Christ, it's a gift. It's an honor, not always easy, but enjoyable and truly fulfilling. So what about it? What might be holding us back today from picking up our cross and following Jesus? And if you're already a believer, but you're still keeping one foot in that world and the other one in this world, trying to have your cake and eat it too. Yeah, that's right, Stephen. I'd urge you, as the Apostle Paul would, to consider trading it all in and becoming that living sacrifice. After all, it is your spiritual service, your spiritual worship, reasonable. It's reasonable service. It's your rational service in light of all that God did through Christ on the cross of Calvary. You look at Paul in Romans chapter 1 all the way up to Romans chapter 11, explaining the intricacies of what Christ did. And because He did all that, we are to live for Him. I urge you. In the light of that indescribable sacrifice that Christ made, to offer yourself as the living sacrifice. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says this, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." This seems to be going all the way back to Genesis. The Lord's heart for His creation. That humankind would willingly choose to return to Him, to forsake all the idols, to turn from all sin, and to eliminate all the distractions from our life, simply returning to Jesus. I worship You. I worship You. We sing that, don't we? Returning to Him in relationship, not in religion. Not in religion, but in a true relationship. So we have Jesus comes to the earth, tempted by the same worldly things that you and I are tempted by, but He doesn't sin. Ultimately, He was nailed to a cross for our sins so we could be transformed to walking, talking reflections of Him. And I've said this before, Donette has said it from the pulpit here. You and I are the only Jesus that somebody's going to see out there. So when we're in community, we walk and we talk and we become living, breathing, walking, talking reflections of Jesus. We have said sometimes we are made to mirror. We are made to magnify. And how do we do that? By living out Jesus in our day-to-day lives. That's becoming a real sacrifice of praise. In the world out there. What did we just all read throughout the book? Being humble. being loving, being patient, being kind. Walking, talking reflections of Jesus. Who are you today? Are you there? Are you there? What is your first response when someone wrongs you? What's your first response? That's a tough one, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I'm there, and I have to momentarily, every moment by every day, I've got to check myself. Okay. Okay, Percy. How are you going to reflect Jesus in that situation? How are you going to reflect Jesus in what's happening right now, right before your face? How are you going to? Am I going to lash out and probably punch the other guy in the nose? No. How am I going to reflect Jesus in that situation? That is where that living sacrifice, moment by moment, takes place, which is your reasonable service and worship. Just imagine living that way. Paul said it. It's your reasonable and an act of living every day as an act of worship. We've had some beautiful times of worship here this morning, singing and praising God. But every day as a living sacrifice, using every moment as your life to worship. How we speak to others as worship. You will never, ever find someone whom God does not love. Doesn't matter their height, their weight, the color of their skin, their gender. Does not matter. You'll never find someone whom God does not love. And how do we reflect Jesus to that person? There is no one gone too far, and there is no offering too small or too large. Give him a minute, an hour, or a lifetime of service, and he will use it to the fullest extent of his glory. And as Paul said in Romans chapter 16, as he concludes his letter, we give him all the praise. He says this: Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Amen. How do we live our life? In the view of God's mercy, in the view of the cross, how do we live? How do I live, Ken Percy? How do I conduct my life as a living sacrifice? Think about that this morning. We sing that beautiful song sometimes, to be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. I'm wondering this morning if we could sing that in an attitude of prayer.